A good morning. Today's daf is Beitz Daf Chav Gimel. We left off at the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Beis. We had mentioned in the yesterday's daf. First, we started with a Mishnah with three chumras that Rav Gamliel, who was a descendant of Hillel, Hazaken, he took on three chumras like Shitas B'Shamay. Then we quoted a Mishnah that towards the end of the shir of three kulas that Rav Gamliel said the Hakel, which the Chachamim did not agree with. The three kulas were, first of all, yelled that you can sweep the dining room, you'll have to sweep the room, and he's not concerned about being mashed for gumas, about leveling out holes. The second chumra was that you can put the incense, like the spices that give off a good aroma, on yantiv, you could burn them. And the question the Gemara discussed yesterday was, does that mean burn them even under clothing, or does it mean burn them specifically just to make the room smell nice, but not under clothing? And then the third din was about eating on Pesach, a gedi mekulas, on Leil Pesach. Eating a gedi, basically with the head and the insides all put together around the spit, a stick, which is the way they used to do it back when they had the Karban Pesach. They copied, they mimicked it. He used to say it's okay, and the Chum didn't like any of these three things. Okay, so in the Gemara we discussed yesterday about the Machlekes, or actually two different versions, but about what we say about being Megamer, which is the giving the aroma. And we ultimately end up coming out saying that Rav Asi said the Machlekes is dafka la riach, to make the room smell good. That's where there's Machlekes. But to actually perfume clothing, that's for sure going to be Asar, to give a perfume, to put a good smell to clothing, that's for sure Asar. And part of the reason is, and we'll see more about it come out in the Gemara, but part of the issue is that it has to be a Davar Shevach al Nefesh in order to permit whether the Havara, the fire that's being lit on these spices, or the Kibui, the extinguishing that takes place when you put the spices over the coals. Either way, it's got to be a Debachos Shav Nefesh. Without that, it's not going to be considered, something that's permissible by Yantav, but indeed Asard, only Rav Gamliel is Mater by the room and by clothing. Everyone who uses Asard. Ibailu. We left off a few lines at the bottom. Ibailu Mahu La'ashin. What's the Lach La'ashin of the common day? Hebrew is, it's a way of saying smoking. It means same idea. It means smoking, in this context, means smoking to give some flavor into fruit, give some aroma into fruit. Are you allowed to be ma'ashin into fruit on Yom Tov? Rabbi Yirmi Rabba Marav, also Rabbi Rabba named Rav, we had yesterday, he was a Talmud Rav, we had just before the Mishnah, he was a Talmud Rav, he said, he asked his Rebbe, Umanu, and who is his Rebbe? Shalta says, Rebbe Bichon, and who is Rebbe? Rav. Rabbi Yirmi Abba is Rebbe's Rav. So Rabbi Yirmi Abba calls the name of Rav, that is Aser. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says it is Mutter. Rav Huna explains, Aser Meshe Mechab. Rav Huna explains that Iser is because you're putting out the fire, the coals. When you put the spices on the coals for the spices to get burnt, so eventually the coals will overtake the spices and burn the spices. But initially what happens is, it actually extinguishes the flame a bit. And that is a problem. Amev Nachman, why are you focused on kiboy? Why aren't you focused on maver? When the spices get lit up, that's creating a flame. And again, creating a flame for something which is not considered a shevachal nefesh, not considered universally required, that should be problematic. Why are you focused on the extinguishing? Focus on the lighting as well. Everyone said, you're right. Amalei, tchilas v'chab v'sef maver. You're right. The first reaction when you put the spice in the coals is it creates a little bit of an extinguishing. And then the ultimate reaction is, the later reaction is, that the coals again burn up and the fire grows again and it actually overtakes the spices and it grows onto the spices. So Enechanami, there's both things are there. You're right. It's not just mechiboy. It's also a problem of maver. Okay, Amar Vida, Agabe Gechelas Aser. So Vida says that this that Rav said is Aser is Davka Agabe Gechelas. This Rav says Davka Agabe Gechelas when you're putting the spices on coal that in order to put an aroma into the fruit, that's Aser when it's directly on the coals. However, Tapach of Gimel Aleph, however, Agabe Cheres Mutter. What if you put spice on half, you heat up a shard, a piece of Cheres, and then you put the spices directly on top of the Cheres, where it's not causing any extinguishing? Yes, granted, the shard will get cooler. It will cool down the second you put non-boiling hot spices on a boiling hot shard. It will cool it off, but just merely bringing down the temperature of something is not kibui. Kibui extinguishing is when you have a flame, like a source of fire, a source of heat, and you get rid of that source by putting out the flame. That's not what we're doing over here, and therefore kibui wouldn't be a problem. Aval agave cheres mutter. Rabbi says, no, agave cheres nami asr. Even agave cheres asr. You know why? Mishum dekamaylid recha. Even agave cheres asr. Yes, extinguishing the kibui, the mechabe is not an issue. And furthermore, the chayra, since the since even though the truth is, let's go jump to the top Rashi for a second. Actually, going back on the one that was Matir, who was it? So if you're Yehuda, Matir. So if you look at the top Rashi, Mutter, it's Mutter to put the spices on the shard. We'll read it inside. We'll read these two Rashis inside. To Kibbe Leka, they don't have Kibbe. Why is no Kibbe? We spoke out because there's no flame here. There's no fire source. It's just something that was heated from a fire. Cooling it off is not a problem. Now, why is it not Avara? If the shard is hot enough, it actually will cause the spices to get cooked and perhaps even inflamed. So maybe there should be Avara. Says the Rashi, Vavara Nami Ali Deshinui Klachayad. The lekis uderais. Avar also is like shinas klachyan. No, it's derais, and therefore not worry about the varia either. That is the shita of Rav Yehuda. However, came along Rabbi and said, no, it's usher. Now, notice, he doesn't say it's usher because of avara. He doesn't say because he disagrees about the varia. He brings the whole new svara. What's that? Read the next Rashi. The kamailid recha. Because it's being mailid. It's being mailid recha. Shenichnas becheris shlehaya by reach. Ve'asim edarban shemailid davar chadash. You're creating, you're being mailed, it's like you're giving birth into the clothing, or into the cheris, in this case, sorry, the cheris, you're giving birth into the cheris, a new reach. And being mailed of a chadash is like making a new thing, it's karev to malacha, and therefore it's a problem. Now the truth is not the first, this is not the first time we had this idea of being mailed reach, being mailed something, being an iser. We had it in Shabbos after Aleph, over there, the Gemara that discusses about not crushing ice or snow, right, and creating, like crushing it from ice solid into a liquid, into slush, into liquid. So it says, Emirazgin Sheleg. Rashi learns over there, what's the issue? The issue is Mailed. The same idea is over here. You're creating a new entity. There was ice, and now you're creating it into a kind of more of a liquidy, more of a chopped up entity. And therefore, it's a problem of Mailed. You gave birth, so to speak, to a new idea. Says the Rashi, they're very important. This is why I wanted to focus on this Rashi, is because the Rashi says this is not to be confused with the idea that we had early in the Masechta of Nailud. Now, I say not to be confused, not because it's not similar, it's very similar. But Nailud is something in Isser of something that even was created by itself, naturally, right? The egg was laid, something that came from Shemayim overnight on Shabbos. So it was Nailud on Shabbos, there's an Isser. The one that says Nailud is Usser means anything that wasn't there before Banish Mashas is Usser, even if it happened by itself. Mailud would seem to be an Isser only if there was human involvement, if the person helped create it, and therefore Mailud is carved malacha, is carved to malacha. So really, I should say it is quite different, because Mailud is really more of a function of being carved to a malacha of creating, whereas Nailud is more of like a muk step as far. It wasn't around, it didn't exist, and therefore it was a skatzi, it was out of our minds totally, and therefore it can't be used. It's really two different ideas. Sefer Trum over there in Shabbos, Nunalf Taka learns that crushing the snow, crushing the ice, is an issue of Nailud. Not Mailud like Rashi learns, is an issue of Nailud. Rashi, the Maisavir, learns is Mailud, and Rashi is also saying the same idea that this over here is going to be an issue of Mailud. Now, the Rashba, once we're on the topic over there, the Rashba says a third reason why by crushing snow it would be usher, nothing to do with Mailud or Nailud. He himself, he just first elaborates on the Machlokes Rashi and the Sefer Truma, and they're saying two different things. Mailud and Nailud are two different things, number one. Number two, Rashba himself says, I'll tell you the issue. The issue is a separate issue of Mashkin Shazavo, another Chazar, and we had earlier in Masechta, we had way back way on the Beis, that one of the explanations of why a Beitza that's Nailud and Yantiv is usher. One explanation is because it resembles liquid that came out of a fruit out of a peri on Shabbos or Yantiv, and the halacha is that liquid that came out, even if it came out by itself, even if it wasn't squeezed out, is usher gzeira atu. A person who drinks the liquid that came out of fruit on Shabbos may come to squeeze out liquid lechatchila, and therefore it's usher as gzeira. So the point is that he says over here too, by crushing the snow and melting it down, also is a problem. This is very relevant to halacha lemaisa, even in cases where it's permissible to warm things up. If it enter, you take something and you put it on top of a blech, it's covered, it's garfakatam, you have a upside down pot, or you're putting it on top of a pot that's on fire, so you're not heating it up in any impermissible fashion. If the item that's heated up switches its texture from being a solid to a liquid, the place can bring a lach lamaisa, it's a problem of mailed. It's a problem of mailed. You're being mailed, you change the entity. So for example, let's say you have a little fat next to a chicken, and it's congealed, and then it melts, that could be problematic. Again, a little, very, very little, tiny bit, they say it's not such an issue, but if it's like a real layer in a pan of solid, and then when you put it to warm up, it now melts and becomes a liquid, that could be an issue of mailed. Similarly, if you have, let's say, these pockets, or these days it's very common with these hot molten chocolate cakes, where the inside is very liquid. The inside, when served right, is hot and it flows, right? So if it was always soft and never hard, no problem. But if it was hard and then you warm it up, and through warming up, it now softens and becomes like flowing, or from a solid to more of a liquid, that also is going to be relevant to this issue of mailed. Okay. So the Tosfos,
is the molad in the creation of the scent, or is it in the earthenware?
Rashi learns in the earthenware. That's a very good point, actually. The Gemara will discuss, we'll touch on that. I believe it's in today's daf. I already saw tomorrow's. I'm 99% sure, yes. Tomorrow's daf is the next parak, ready? It's in today's daf. Tomorrow we'll touch on that. That you said, the Rishonim at least will touch on it. But the simple answer is yes, it's in the Cheres. In the item itself, you're not being mild of the aroma as much as bringing it out. There's a fundamental difference of bringing it out as opposed, right? You're not being mild of it, you're just bringing it out. It'll be relevant in the Gemara actually asks a question in just a couple lines. But now that's come back to me, that will literally touch on your topic, Amil. Rabbi Yosef, there's also Taisus, I don't want to get too stuck over here, but Taisus addresses, we point out from Rashi, why there's no problem of Avara. Kibbe, there's no, because the Kibbe by the shark, because it's not its own fire source. And Avara, there's not, Rashi, because Avara, Klachyad, that's permissible Yantiv. Rabbi Yitzel, Taisus brings from the Ri, who learns that for Karat, that it would be Havara, but it would still be permissible anyway for other reasons. Okay. Says the once a vara is mutter for reasons of needed, even in a case where it's not necessarily so needed, it's also mutter. Ayin sham in Taisvis. Okay, says the Gemara further. Rabbi Rabbi Yisam Tavayu, Sefuke Ashiroi Biyametava Aser, taking a cup that has a good aroma and turning it upside down and covering Shirayim like literally silk garments, and you're doing it that the silk garments should absorb the smell, is Aser. My time is Shem to Kabbal Recha. Again, the same idea. The issue is because it's being Mel Recha. Ask him, Mishnah, Mel Recha. Why is it different than, let's say, your fragrant wood that you roll between your finger to kind of bring the fragrance out to the top? Bring your fingers out the top, and then you can smell it, and it's okay. The kite memrechbay, or you can clip the tip of this wood that has good fragrance. Clip the top, and when you clip it, that brings out the smell, and that's permissible. There too, be mudreich. Answers the Gemara exactly to your point, Amiel. Hasa recha mia isa vaisufehu the kamaisa recha hacha eludehu the kamaisa recha. So it's mamish rav yehuda's Gemara, right? Over there, the reich was always here the whole time. The reich existed. You're just bringing it out. You're exposing that which is there. Whereas go back to the case of the clothing, the most recent case, or the case before that of the cheres, or the case before that of the Paris, you're being mailed new reich into these items, and that's a problem. These items didn't have the reich at all. You're being mailed into these items, bringing it out from an existing place is not so bad. It's not less of an issue. It's not considered mailed. Whereas putting it new into a new place, that's called mailed. Rav Amar, Rav says opposite. He argues on this whole conversation, and he says that even though Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi are both agreeing that you cannot burn the spices for these purposes of Yantiv, right? That they had different reasons, but they both agreed you can't burn spices in order to, let's say, smoke up the fruit on Yantiv. Rava Amar, Agabi Chalas Amar, it's Mutter, even Chalas. You know why? Midi Dahavi Abisra Gumri. It's like meat that's cooking on the coals. At the face of it, what Rava seems to be saying is that it's like any cooking that you do. It's for Echel Nefesh purposes, and therefore, Echel Nefesh, we allow Havaras, we allow these Kibwe, Manasseh, we allow these Dinim. And therefore, it's not a problem. That seems to be the simple reading of Rava. There is discussion if that's the case. Why is he picking meat to have a bisra a gumre? Why is it being a case of the meat that's roasted on the coals? Let him just say it's like cooking. It's the din of Echad Nefesh. Obviously, he's saying more than that. What he's saying is that even when you cook the meat on the coals, it seems like the meat does give some sort of fragrance into the coals. Or it also causes the coals to extinguish a drop. You have some of these other elements, and yet it's mutter. So too, it's mutter. But again, ultimately, the svar seems to be the svar of. Eichel Nefesh. Darsha Gviyah made Ksila Pizchad Devesh Glusa. Keturah Shari. He darshan that Keturah is permissible. That's Rabbi Gviyah. He darshan and the doorway, the entrance of Vesh Glusa, that Keturah Shari. The question, of course, is what is Keturah? I'm a Meimer. My Keturah. E Keturah Biyadi. What does Keturah mean? If Keturah means like the press sleeves of clothing, so that's certainly Aser. That's what you tell me. It's Mutter. My Somanu. That's Mamasha My Soman. It's for sure Malacha. That's certainly Aser. Vilashen. Elamai means you're smoking. Keturah means like a lashon of producing smoke, to smoke, let's say, Paris. Aser da kamechaba. It's also aser because lemaisa, some of the coals get extinguished. So that's vayter aser. So what is this keturah that Gviyah speaks about that's permissible? We're talking about lashen, and similar to what Rav said a minute ago, we're talking about lashen, we're talking about smoking the Paris, and it is permissible. You asked about the kiboy, not a problem. It's like the putting down a roast, putting down a piece of meat on top of the coals, yeah, it does cause a little extinguishing. It's part of the process of cooking, and that's not a shter. That's not a problem on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara further, Kedami, a slightly different version, Rav of Rav Gviyah's Memra, and the ensuing conversation. It goes like this. Rav Gvir's statements is the same. His statement again is Keturah Shari. Amay Amaymar, my Keturah, what is Keturah? Ikturah Biyadi, if it means pressing sleeve of clothing, Mais Amanu, that's Mais Amanu, that's so far the same again, and that's therefore it's Malacha. Ila Ashen, here's where it gets different. Ila Ashen, Usr, and if it's to smoke the fruit, it's Usr. Before we said Usr because of being Mechabe, some of it gets extinguished as you smoke the fruit. Here we say a different Svarah. To come Mailed Reichu, we touch on that Svarah of Mailed that we had before, we had earlier from Rabba and Abyasif and from the Gemara, just on top of the Amud. So now the Gemara has the same issue over here. Amr Vashi, the same answer. According to this verse, Rashi just defends and says, I'm the one who told Rakvia the Memra, and I said in the name of a Gavarabba, and it's talking about Takal Ashin smoking the fruit, and so it's permissible. Why? Like we said from Rava before, and like I said from Rashi in the first Lashon, Rashi is the second Lashon saying again as well, it's not a problem because it's no different than Bistra Agumre, just like the meat on top of the coals can be, the meat on the coals can be put at the fire a little bit. Yes, never a problem. If Eich Levish purpose is not to cook the meat, so do here. For smoking, if once we agree that smoking the fruit is considered Shavuot HaLevish, something which is normal, and therefore you're allowed to do it, it's not going to be a problem of Kibui, because it's Derech Eich HaLevish, it's Derech Heter, and therefore it's not going to be an issue. Okay, now we get to the last psak of Ragamil in our Mishnah. Ragamil had said that Eise Gedi Mekulis, you could roast the Gedi with the Gedi, the baby goat for Pesach, you could roast a Gedi. Now you're doing this not in the times of the Beis HaMikdash anymore. We're doing this stam as kind of like a more of a zecher, and we're doing with the same method with the spit and the head on top like a helmet and with all the intestines wrapped around, right? So, ask, says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Seimer, Tudis Ishroimi, Henik Esbei Romi, Tudis was a Chashav Yid in Rome, we'll see the Gemara, he was a Chashav Yid, and he was manning the people of Rome to do exactly what we said in our Mishnah, like our Gamil said at least. Lechel Gedim Akulis Blei Pesachim, Shalchu Lei, Sechom Zentim, Ilmo Tudis Atef, you were not Tudis, the Chashav Yid, because Rano Lecha Nidai, we would put you into Nidai, into Cherim, Shata Machlos Bnei Yisrael, Kach Mechutz. What you're going to doing is going to lead to people to Kach Mechutz. People, they see it. It looks stomach like Karm Pesach. You're eating a Mechutz. You can say, must be Karm Pesach. It's not restricted to be eaten in Yerushalayim. It can be denied of Yerushalayim. And it's going to lead to problems in the future. And therefore, we put you in Cherim for doing such a kind of a brazen act that's going to lead to mistakes for the people, mimicking the Karm Pesach with non-Karm Pesach. It says Gemara, people are eating kachem mechutz, kachem zakatayitach, lemaisa, no one makes their meats karm pesach anymore. They know there's no Beis HaMikdash, and therefore no one's eating kachem mechutz because not kachem. Says Gemara, you're right, el ema kein kachem. It means like kachem. Meaning people are going to eat their copies of the karm pesach, which is like kachem mechutz, and it's going to lead to problems, it's going to lead to people forgetting the importance of eating the kachem in Yerushalayim itself. Okay, that was the Shaka V'taya, and that's the same Shaka V'taya in our Gemara, our Mishnah, our Gemil, was matter, eating it this way, and they're about to argue, presumably, because of the same taina that the Chum had against Tudis. Now there's a Shtarka Ha'ar over here. Tudis was saying was Ish Chashev, and therefore they put him in Chirim. Is that how it works? When a person is more Chashev, he gets a pass? Usually we find the opposite, right? People who are more Chashev are held to higher standard. Because he's more Chashev, therefore, we're not going to excommunicate you. You have a little bit more schlep, a little more pull. We know that some ways, unfortunately, that's how life does work, but we like to think that when it comes to the Chachamim issuing their rulings, Lagabi, who needs Chayrim, who deserves to be excommunicated, there wouldn't be a dispensation because he's a Chashav Yid, because he's someone with a stature. So the Mefarshim answer, beautiful, Mefarshim answer, it's a pretty basic Svara. That it's not the Pshat that they were saying, because you're Chashav, we're going to give you a pass. What they're saying, those words do fit. But I mean, not just because he's Chashav. Because he was Chashav, they took for granted that either A, he has a svara in halacha to do what he's doing, even if he's wrong and we don't agree, but you don't put someone in chayrim because they're doing something which they're mistaken, at least with a proper backing to their side. He had a proper, the Chum assumed, he must have some sort of proper backing to his mahalach, even if we're not going to rule that way, but that would be a reason if someone else we put a chayrim but him, because he must have been doing this with the reasoning, therefore we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, that at least we're not going to put him a chayrim, that's one mahalach, or simply the svar is that must be what you're doing, because you're an adul chashev, and we know you wouldn't make such a simple mistake, or do something so clearly wrong, we're not going to put you a chayrim, because it must be, we're misunderstanding what you're doing. So again, either we know exactly what you're doing, but you probably have some basis, whether we agree or not, some basis, therefore that's a ticket out of Chayrim. Or, you taka, if you did what we think you're doing, it would be a problem. We put him in Chayrim. The reason we didn't put Tudis in Chayrim is because we're taking for granted we must not fully be understanding what you're doing, because you wouldn't do such a thing. But that's the kind of the dispensation of Adam Chashev, of the Adam Gadol, not because if we know for sure that he did the wrong thing, no explanation, no excuse, and we're not making a mistake, then the Chayim would be put in the Chayim, just like anybody else. It's just there's a step before that, because we can safely assume that, what meets the eye is not exactly the case. Okay, says the Gemara. On this idea of numbers, so we had three things that Argumil said he was makel like Bishamay, three things that he was machper like Bishamay, three things that he was makel against the Chachamim. Now we're also coming to three more things, different author, but three more things. It's kind of like, it reminds me of the Mishnah I've been learning this week, Mishnah's Idius with one of my sons. It reminds me of the Mishnah's Idius, where it gives like groupings of teachings together, and there's some sort of relationship between the teachings. And we already had this very different Daf Beis already in Beitza for the first mission of the Masechta, where it gives a grouping of three teachings. One of them is totally not relevant to Yom Tov in general; it's more relevant to Pesach. But general teachings related to Yom Tov, and here too, all these dinim till now were more related to other. This first din that we're going to discuss now, this new Mishnah, is actually the way some Rishonim explain it, is more of a Shabbos din. Others say no, it's also Yom Tov, but we're going to go with the Malach, it's more of a Shabbos din. But again, it's a grouping of three teachings that Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah was Matir, and the Chamaser, so it relates to what we said before, and it's related to Yom Tov / Shabbos, which is close enough, says the Mishnah. Shalosh Dvarim, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Matir, three things Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah is Matir, the Cham Aitzu and the Cham Aser. What are they? Parasa Yatzah B'tzua Shabank Yerna, the para of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah would go out with a strap between his horns. Now we know there's a halacha of shvisas bamtei, just like leisas kam halacha ato vincha v'avdcha v'mamascha uvemtecha. Just like we can't do halacha, us, our wives, our spouses, our children, right? So too our avadim and our behemoths can't do halacha. Carrying is a halacha; it's also a halacha. So if the strap around the head is not considered a form of permissible haitzah, that's considered one of the malachas, it'll be a problem. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was matred, because obviously he held, as a din of a tachshit, din of an ornament, it's considered enough of a normal wearing that it wouldn't be considered a haitzah, and the Chamar are disagreeing. Next din. Umirakten as behemah b'yamtiv. You can comb the animal. Umirakten, we'll see in the Gemara, is with a metal comb with very fine, fine ends of sticks on the comb, which can potentially lead to bleeding. So that's something that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah still held was okay. V'sheichin is papal b'rechaim shlem, and the last thing is, and the Chama argued, of course, and the last thing is that you can grind peppercorns in their grinder. Also, again, we're talking about on Yom Tov, and he's saying that even though teichin, we've discussed in the past, teichin is a little back and forth, comes Yom Tov, this form of teichin is okay. This form of teichin is okay, and the potential issue would be potentially also an issue of uvdat chayil, even if you say that it's not a problem of teichin, but because using the kli, the regular pressing, crushing kli, that would be maybe over the chol. Bottom line is, Rabbi Elazar was matir it, and the chumim asered it. Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer, Rida says, the guy with the combing, he says a middle shita. Eimer akden, as beimer b'yamtiv, memei shayis tachabura, ava makartzefin. You cannot use the metal combing, he said, which is very fine, has very fine needles, the comb, and causes wounds. That cannot be used in yantiv, because it makes chabura, but, and Rida Yehuda Shtasei, that holds, even if it's not in your intent, Davar Shem Miskaven is Asr, that's famous, Rida argues with Shimon, who says Davar Shem Miskaven is Mutter, Rida says Asr, so this fits very well with Shtasei, but he says, you know what you could do? A wooden comb is okay, Mekartzefa with a wooden comb, which has thicker teeth, that won't necessarily wound the animal, that's going to be permissible, the Chamayim Ein Mekardin Af Le Mekartzefin, the Chamayim is saying, you can't do either, you can't do Mekardin or Mekartzefin, you can't comb the animal, side with a wooden comb, side with a metal comb, certainly with a metal comb, you can't do either. So three machlokes about the combs. We have the Tanakh, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying it's mutter, all types of combs, wooden, even metal mutter. We have the Chum saying wooden, even wooden is usser, and certainly metal is usser. And then we have Rabbi Yehuda, who makes the distinction between wooden, that's mutter, and metal, that's usser. The Seth Gemara, we're saying that parasai, the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, would go out in public with this strap around his head. The problem with that Lashon is mashmi, he had one cow. His cow! He had one cow. I mean, you could say over the generation, he had more than one cow. But it sounds like generally he had one cow. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was an extremely wealthy man. We're going to see in the Gemara, he had hundreds of thousands of cows. So the Lashon Paras is a little bit fair. Remember the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah chad paravi. He told Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah he only had one cow. Rav says either it's Rav or it's Yehuda Merav, same ultimate author of Rav. Place Ralphie, ugly. 13,000 calves. Have him asr b'lazar ben Azariah madre koshav shata. Every year he would take meiser of 13,000 calves, which means every year he would have 130,000 new calves being born into his animal farm. 130,000 new calves, and he would take 30,000 give to meiser, and he'd keep the rest. Now, if you're doing the math, presumably they didn't all die out or be sold within a year. Maybe they did, but if they didn't, that means you'd have at least a year and a half's worth at once, presumably, maybe more, a couple hundred thousand cows, yet we described it as his cow, his one cow went out during on Shabbos with a strap around his horns. It's a little funny lashon for someone that has hundreds of thousands of cows. Answers the Gemara, Tana, we learned the Brisa elaboration of the story. It was not Rabbi Lazar ben Azarias. Elishal Shantayes, it was his Shein, it was his neighbors. We had this here a couple of times in Mesechta Shabbos. This Gemara itself actually came up. Because he didn't make a macha, he was biyadai. Right? There's an obligation. There's an obligation. If someone is biyadai to stop someone else from doing an avera, and he doesn't, he gets credit, so to speak, wrong credit, but he gets negative credit as if he was aided and abated in the avera here too. Because it was simply the neighbor of Rabbi ben Azariah. Maybe she only had one cow. Or maybe, right? Maybe his neighbor, I'm not sure why I'm saying she, sounds to me like a shchentai, but it could be he. His shachin only had one cow. And because they make a macha about the way the shachin was going out with the cow, therefore, no, it's not because they say it's her. Shchentai is her. His neighbor, she had a cow, and he didn't make a macha against her, what she was doing with that cow. Therefore, we attribute it to him as if it was his, and therefore it's lashon of singular, because it's referring to a very specific cow that belonged to his neighbor. But he may have had tons of cows. Before we go further, there's a basic kasha Tosfos that historically the Mishnah doesn't line up. Because we're talking about Trumas and Maisers. Trumas and Maisers were stopped after, I shouldn't say Trumas and Maisers, Maisa Behema was stopped after the Churban of Bayis. After the Churban of Bayis, Ma'is Behema stopped, because Ma'is Behema has to go on the Mizbeach. If after the Churban, you separate Ma'is Behema, you know, Ma'is Behema only comes Kaddish, when you separate Asiri and Kaddish, you put that animals in the corral, and you count up to 10. It's a mitzvah to do that, but if you don't do that, then there is no Kedushas Ma'is or any animals, and having animals with Kedushas Ma'is or Bizmanazah is a bad thing, because it's not based on Mikdash. It's a problem, so they stopped doing Ma'is Behema. Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah lived after the Churban. So if he lived after the Churban, he was alive for a while after the Churban, and they stopped doing Ma'is Behema, so why would he have 13,000 annual Maisa Behemas? It doesn't make sense. He wouldn't should have any Maisa Behemas. They stopped doing it. Azay Frek Taisis, second Taisis, the middle Taisis, right on the side. Place their Alfie Ugly, have a Maisa Taisis Kasha. Taisis gives three Terutzim to the Kasha. Taisis' first Terutz is that he lived right after Churban HaBayis. This idea that they stopped separating Maisa because Takala took a while to develop. Meaning, right after Churban HaBayis, there's hope that it'll come back right away. They quickly get back to Meir Banabes Mikdash, and therefore, having Meir Banabes Mikdash not in the world, they'll be able to bring it eventually when they get back to Meir Mikdash. But once they saw that it was a long term, definitely wasn't so short term anymore, having these takalas, all these Meir Banabes around, was creating an issue. So they only met the takalas a little later, so he was alive for Tekufa, and he himself had for a year or two, after Churban HaBayis, 13,000 Meir Banabes that were separated, that probably exasperated, contributed to the issue. But the point is, he was around for a time when they were doing Meir Banabes, even after Churban. So the first answer, the second answer is, that maybe he was a little kid, B'shas Churban HaBayis. So he was around long after Churban HaBayis, because he was young B'shas Churban HaBayis, but when he was a young kid, he already had an estate, and that Apitropos, the administrators of his estate, were taking on 13,000 Behemas a year for Meir Behema. And a Chanami, once the basement was destroyed, they stopped doing Meir Behema B'chlal, and therefore it wouldn't be relevant anymore, but it was still belonged to him. He was still, already a young child. When it happened, and since he was a young child, when it was still happening, when they still were taking Meir, therefore, it's considered as it was his. Therefore, the lashon does apply that he used to take 13,000 from his estate. And the third answer he gives is that it wasn't really meiser. Last words of Tosfos, it was a meiser. Rather, elishay yonaisin lemelech b'chol shana hasiris. It was like a tax to the king that he gave every year. 10% is a tax to the king. It was just, okay, we call it a meiser because it was 10% tax, but it was a tax to the king, not a regular meiser. Point just is that he had that many animals. If he had 10,000, if he had 10% was 13,000, obviously he was producing 130,000 a year. Okay, three times Ritzim, how we deal with the Meiser in the times of Rebbe Lazar Messiah, if you have the Chor Meis. One other point before we see the Mishnah on top of before we see, actually, let's see the next Gemara first. See the Gemara first, then we'll have one point before we turn the page. Says the Gemara. Voice, we said you can comb the animal on Yom Tov. We have a chalik is the Mishnah, how far you can take it. Tanakhama says metal comb and certainly wooden comb. Rabbi Yehuda says only wooden comb, not metal comb. Chama say none of the above. Tanabaran. Ezekir vezekirtsev. What's considered combing with a kirid and what's combing with kirtsev? If you know the answer already, we got it from the Gemara. Rashi is from the Gemara. Kirid ketanam ba'isa chabura. Kirid is metal comb with small teeth that make a wound. And kirtsev that could make a wound. That don't always make a wound, otherwise that would be psikresia, but could make a wound. Kirtsev is gedel ve'enes mechavura. Kirtsev is more of a wooden comb that has thicker prongs that don't make a chabura. The gimachak is v'davar, and there's three machakas in the matter, like we pointed out, we're in the Mishnah. Rebu desavar, davar shem is gavinasar miu, kari diktanam eis chabura, kirtsev gedel ve'enes chabura. Rebu holds like this. Davar shem is gavin, even though it's not kivun, it's not your intent, it's still asar. and therefore small metal pokes, which very commonly make a wound, that's a problem. Even though it's not your intent, that's a problem. The kirtzuf, the wooden prongs, which are gedolim and bigger, and they don't make a chabura, that's not a problem. Now, the tzad to make the wood usher would be, which the rabbanon do make an usher, would be to make a gzera wood onto metal, the legazrina, kartzuf to kart, according to Rida, we don't make a gzera, that wood is usher onto metal, metal is usher, wood is not, that's Rabbi Yudashita. Rabbanon Tzavi, Nami can be, rabbanon agree to Rabbi that Dovishav's gav is usher, rabbanon agreeing that Dovishav's gav, even though it's not your intent, it's usher, and therefore concerned about metal for sure, and even the wood, gazrina, kartzuf to kart, they make a gzera the wood onto the metal, and therefore it's all going to be usher. Who says that Dovishav's gav, and think what that which is not your intent, is totally mutter, ubein kart, bein kartzuf, shari. Therefore, whether it's a metal comb or whether it's a wooden comb, is both going to be permissible. Amar Rav Rav Nachman Mishmuel, Vamila Amar Rav Nachman Chudei, either it's Rav Nachman Mishmuel or Rav Nachman on his own. Halacha Rav Shimon, Halacha Rav Shimon, Shiblaz Mazayik Maidulei. Halacha Rav Shimon, that Dovah Shem's Gav is Mutter, like Rav Blaz Mazayik is Maidah to him, who says they accuse any type of comb, because he's Maidah, again, that Dovah Shem's Gav is Mutter. Ask the Gemara Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, Vilema Malachar Behuda, Shavichom Maidulei, that's your Svara. Rav Blaz Mazayik backs Rav Shimon, and therefore Rav Shimon wins. We have Rav Yehuda being backed by the Chamanar Mishnah, the Chamanar agreeing with the same Svara as Rav Yehuda. Maybe they take us further, they make his errors, but the point is they agree to Rav Yehuda. So you have a das yachid. Like Rav Shimon, that he's saying that's the support. That therefore that's the lacha. You have the rabbanan and the chamim. Like Rav Yehuda, that should be the lacha. Amalei Rav Lav Nachman blamei halach Rav Yehuda. Shavicham maynulei amalei. So Rav Nachman's back. Ana Rav Shimon's vile. You're right. I really like Rav Shimon. I hold that's the logic. Oh, the Rav Shimon is correct. The Dovah Shem's Gav is mutter. And by the way, this machlokes Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda applies not just in Shabbos and Yom Tov. Mesechta Beitzos, Mesechta Yom Tov. Not just in Shabbos, Yom Tov, Legabe, Dovah Shem's Gav, Legabe Shabbos. It applies also Legabe other dinim as well. There's discussion. Paskin like Rabbi Shimon over, does that mean you paskin like elsewhere too? Like Gavin Shandas, let's say a person's wearing climb in a beged. Shandas. And it's not his intent, it's Ainim's Gavin. So he's not Miskavin to wear it. He's putting it on to schlep it, to carry it. Is Dovah Shimon's Gavin going to be okay or not? If you go paskin like Shimon across the board, it'll be permissible there as well. Or you say that no, paskin like Shimon, Gavin Shabbos, but maybe you need Machos Shabbos, but maybe when it comes out like Gavin Shabbos, it comes to things like Shandas or other dinim, maybe over there paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon is a discussion. Says the Gemara, again, Amalei, so Rav Nachman said back, and no, Rav Shimon's Vila. You're right. I pass like Rav Shimon because I like Rav Shimon's Shita. And I'll add to it, so it's just another feather in that cap. But Lameisa, the main reason I pass like Rav Shimon is not because of Rav Shimon's, because otherwise Rav Yehuda has the Chumim, but rather because I hold the logic of Rav Shimon supersedes. Now before we turn the page, just a quick halacha Lameisa discussion. And again, I shouldn't say, it shouldn't be so Lameisa in our circles, but it's the concept is the Lamedus is Negei Lameisa. The Chashuk Chemed of Zilbashen Shlita, he discusses the Shaila about, let's say, a man wearing an earring. His main point is, let's presume that men wearing earrings is usur als leisilbash. Let's presume a man wearing an earring is an usur als leisilbash. If that's the case, what's the gemilah halacha if a man wears an earring on Shabbos and he goes out with it? It's an ornament, it's like a malbush, and therefore maybe he says no itza. Or do you say, since there's an isur of leisilbash on it, the isur says he can't wear it, and once he can't wear it, all of that itself makes it, that's going to be chim of itza. Says Chashuk Chemed, l'chayra, that's going to be the halacha this latter way, that since there's an isur of leisilbash, therefore it's going to be a problem of haitza, and he brings a basis for this for the Michas Chinuch, and I believe it's Mitzvah Gimel, who says that if one wears leather shoes, Yom Kippur, a week ago, if one wears leather shoes on Chalila on Yom Kippur, right, you know, there's five Inuyim, and a person, one of them is the person that's supposed to be wearing leather shoes. By the way, there are exceptions after the Shir, so I'm not going to point it out. It doesn't share this Cheshvin, but it is correct that in a case where a guy has no shoes, no other shoes besides leather shoes, and he's walking outside and it's very difficult, it's going to be harmful for his feet, then for the minimal amount, he would be allowed to wear it, because the whole idea is you're not supposed to have pleasure, you're supposed to have Inuy, right? But massive tsar and pain, that's not necessary. So if you're just wearing it to protect from massive pain and tsar, that could be more lenient. Okay, but the point is, let's say the person did not need to wear leather shoes. He's walking in a place where there's paved roads, it's easy to walk, he can walk without leather shoes, and he wore it on Yom Kippur. Says the Mechaz Chinuch, forget about being over on the five Inuyim, he's over on Itzah. Since he's wearing something he's not allowed to wear, the heter of Malbush doesn't apply, the heter, as far as he's being whether it's a Malbush or an ornament, doesn't apply, and therefore he'd be chayv for Itzah as well. Interesting Chinuch, and that's where the Chashuk Chemed gets his basis for the male earrings. Okay, top of Ambeis, that's two more short Mishnayos to finish the parak. Says the top Mishnah. The Rechayim, the pepper grinder, can actually contract Tumah via three different components, namely Mishum Kli Kibul. There's a, the Mars elaborate very shortly on this, that the base, the bottom is like this receptacle. We know a Kli Kibul, if it has a Kli which has a base Kibul, that's Makabal, that itself makes it a Kli, as Makabal Tumma. Mishum Kli Matras, there's the metal component, the metal component is metal alone, helps make it, gives the shame Kli. Mishum Kli Kivra, and also sieve. Now when it's all together, it doesn't matter. You have one big Kli over here, which is this peppercorn grinder, and therefore it's certainly Mekabal Tumma. The Chiddush over is, let's see, the pieces were separated. It says the Gemara Tana, Tachtonim Shum Kli Kibul, the bottom one is Tameh, is Mekabal Tumma, I should say, because the Kibul is receptacle. Emtzeis, it's the middle part, which is Mishum Kli Kivra, the middle part is the sieve. El Yer, the top part, is considered a Kli Mishum Kli Matkas. But again, the Afkin is, if it was separate components, it still would be subject, each one would be subject to Tumma, because each one has a shame Kli. Oh, we know North Sam Kabbal Tumma has to have a shame Kli. Each one of these have their own shame Kli, and therefore they're all subject to Tumma, even when it's not built together, even when it's separated. A regular Kli that's broken in half would not be Mekabal Tumma. Here, each component alone has its own reasoning to Mekabal Tumma, and therefore it's Mekabal Tumma. Zakta Mishnah. Agola Shalkatan. An Agola Shalkatan, that's a wagon of a child. A child's wagon. So they used to use this wagon. The child would use it as a toy to give him a little stability to walk around. He would sit on it. So the lacha is Tumei Medrash. A little chazar quickly of Dina Tumei Medrash. Tumei Medrash is Tumei Mishkan Vayishim, a place where a zava yuledes mitzayra, someone who has that level of Tumei, when they sit, they render it an avatumma. Chiddush. Normally, the zava yuledes mitzayra, they are all mitzaras, they're all avatumas. And when an avatumma conveys tumma to something, that becomes a rishonal tumma, or a vladatumma. Same thing, rishonal vladatumma, it goes down a madrega. There's a chiddush by Mishka Vameshev that chair, let's say, that the zava, that the nida sits on, not only on the tzaira, not only is it tumme, it's on a level of tumma that is the same level as the zav himself. So it's an avatumma. Nafkamina, of course, is an avatumma can convey tumma to Adam and Kalim. Adam and Kalim, Kalim meaning vessels, or Kalim meaning clothing, can contract Tumma from an Avatumma. Had it gone down a Madrega that the Zav was the Avatumma, let's say, and the Medrash, the chair that was sat on by the Zav of the Zava, that he or she sat on, became a Rishonah Tumma, if that would be the case, then it would only be up to Mitama, Mashkin, drinks, Eichlin, food, Kachim, Chumas, only those type of things, which are all food, but not Adam or Kalim. The fact that it is a parallel, it remains the same level of Avatumma as a Chiddush in Tumas Medrash, and therefore give of Tumma to Adam and Kalim. Says the Mishnah that Agala Katan, since it's used, the Katan uses sometimes as a wagon, besides for playing for it, he sits in it, uses as a chair, has the status of a chair, and has Tumas Medrash. Interesting, in the morning chair, this morning, so someone pointed out, I actually said it, to full disclosure, I said it more matter-of-factly, that we had, because I remember from Gemara's elsewhere, we had that the children sometimes used to walk with these wagons. It was like a tool, till today it's used, these tools that are help aid children in learning how to walk, right? So it gives them a little balance, and they walk with these little wagons, and then eventually helps them get comfortable level to be able to walk without the wagons, right? Simple. So that could be the wagon we're talking about. Someone wanted to mention that wagon for sure not, because that wagon would be too small for a regular person to sit on, which is a thought that someone mentioned this year, so they were suggesting that my explanation is perhaps out of line. So the truth is, if you look at the Taisfis, jump into the Taisfis, Agol Shalkatan, last Taisfis in the Perek, third Taisfis on the page, Taisfis says, Pish Pekotcha, Katan Yeshu Baseicha, the Katan sits in it, Lain Yearly, the Maikam Mashmalan, Pshita. Taisfis says, if we're talking about a wagon that the Katan sometimes sits in, and it's a regular size wagon, then why shouldn't it be different than any other seat? Yeah, because it's designated for Katan, but it's a seat. It's a chair the Katan uses as a seat. Why should it not be Tami Tami Medrash? He's not disagreeing with that case, he's just saying there's no Chiddush there. And therefore, that can't be the case. Rather, what's the case? The script down, the Kachnira, Li, the Hainu, Tay says, we know what we're talking about. So I got lucky that Taisa says exactly this pshat. We're talking about this small little Kli that the Katan uses to learn to walk from. It has like three prongs. He holds it and rolls in front of Tamid. It's that little wagon he used to walk on. Which the Chiddush is, that wagon maybe is not normally used even for sitting, even for the Katan. It's more for leaning at the Katan, and it's a smaller Kli, and still, because it's used, the Katan puts his weight on it, it's used for supporting his body, has a status that it could be subject to Mishka V'Meishav, and therefore if someone sits in it, it's going to be Tamid. Okay. Says the Mishnah further. Then he tells for Shabbos, this wagon can be moved on Shabbos. Vinegaris al gabi kalim. But the Tanakhama says you could roll it on Shabbos, but you got to roll on top of kalim. Kalim over here means begadim fabric. Otherwise, you're going to scrape up the dirt, and it's going to be a problem. So you roll it over clothing, but not directly on a dirt floor. Rabbi Yehuda Imer, interesting. Rabbi Yehuda is usually the machmer. Rabbi Yehuda says kolak kalim einigarim chutz min ha'agala shemrei shi kaveshes. So Rabbi Yehuda says, normal kalim cannot be dragged on the ground. Why? Because when you drag, you make a charitz, you make a hole, you make a furrow in the ground, and that's a problem. Rabbi Yehuda says that even Dov Hashem is Gavin is usur. However, the agala punct, it could be rolled on the ground. Why? Because it only presses the dirt. It doesn't really make a furrow, it doesn't make a hole. It just presses the dirt down a little bit, doesn't make a furrow or a hole. It's not considered a malach of digging, of baina, of chayrish, and therefore potentially digging is either or. The point is, he's not concerned about by wagon, he's concerned about other kelim, but punked by wagon, he's not concerned. Agal shekatan, tamei medris, tasamechalei. The Gemara says, why is agal shekatan, tamei tamei medris? Because the child leans on it, that actually fits very well with Taisis Nakud, that you're leaning, not even sitting, the child leans on it. Then he tells Peshabbos, and it can move the Shabbos, Mishnah Nikitaris Kliyala. So I should point out the Mishnah, Rashi says in the Mishnah, the reason why you can move it on Shabbos is because that's a teres kli, right? Rashi got it for the Gemara, obviously. Has a teres kli, meaning it's not muktzah, because that's a teres kli, not muktzah. Venigres alagabi kalim, it can only be dragged over above clothing. Agabi kalim, milagabi kaka, loy, dafka above clothing, nabagabi kaka, might have to go for charitz, because you're making a charitz. So the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, has a problem with charitz. Now, who would be that author that's worried about an unintended charitz? That's Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda is the next part of the Mishnah. That's going to be the most problem. Let's see. It says, Marmani Rabbi Yehuda, who would make sense to be the author of that first line of the Mishnah that says you can only roll the wagon on top of clothing because we're concerned about making an unintended charitz, and that itself is a problem? It must be Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Dav Shemes Gavin Asur. Rabbi Yehuda says, Dav Shemes Shimon, because according to Shimon, Dav Shemes Gavin Mutter. According to Shimon, Dav Shemes Gavin is Mutter. Like we learned in the Mishnah, the Tanan, or the Tanya, the Brisa, the Shabbos, the Mishnah, Brisa, Rabbi Shimon, and we had this, either way, we had this many times in Shabbos. Gaira the meat of Safs, Kis of Safsal, Vashis Gavin Asur. A person could drag a table, a bench, a chair, as long as he didn't have the intention to make a charitz, and we always stick it over there elsewhere in Shabbos as well, as long as it wasn't a psikration, as long as it wasn't guaranteed to happen, then it's permissible, according to Rabbi Shimon, that what? Even though it ends up making a charitz, which is a ditch, which could be a problem of chayrish, or baina, the problem of digging, either way, it's not a problem, according to Rabbi Shimon, because it wasn't his intent. Who holds this a problem? Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, great. So the first line of the Mishnah says you have got to put a cloth under the wagon is Rabbi Yehuda. Amasif, going to the next line of the Mishnah, it says Rabbi Yehuda Aimer. Ain't I called the Gorm Shabbos? You can't drag other utensils, Kalim Shabbos, Flitzman, Agal Mesha, Kaveshas, but the wagon you can, yes, drag Mesha Kaveshas in because it presses Avalei Charitz Avdab. It doesn't make a Charitz. So Rabbi Yehuda is both parts of this Mishnah saying it's Usra and saying it's Mutter. What's going on over here? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Trey Tanoi Valib Rabbi Yehuda. It's two Tanoim that argue about Rabbi Yehuda says. There's two ways to understand this. Either they one of them has it wrong, which is a famous concept we spoke touched in the past. When we have machlekes, we like to say as much as possible, Eilu ve'eilu different kebchayim. They both could be true, different contexts, both psak and both halachas could be true, even though halachas don't seem to be connected to each other. They both could potentially be true. Over here, Rashi points out, Rashi points out, we also had something similar in Erevin, in the Nuns, where Rashi points out that in certain instances, you can't say Eilu ve'eilu different kebchayim. One of them has to be wrong. Doesn't mean it's not Torah. They're both like different Kim Chayim, meaning they're both Tyra. But what has to be wrong? Two Talmidim are arguing if Rabbi Yehuda said it's mutter without a cloth beneath it, or it's us without a cloth beneath it. They're both saying opposite things from the same author. One of them has to be wrong. That's one option. Or the other option is one of them still could be wrong, but it wasn't so much that one of them heard his Rebbe wrong, they both heard him right. And we've had this in the past. People could be chaser. Rebbe himself maybe changed his mind. Maybe at one point he yelled, I'll go with the side mutter first, and then eventually yelled us. So the reason I'm going with that side second is because that seems to be the malach we take with Rebbe all through Masechta Shabbos at Davishim, and we just said earlier in today's daf, Davishim's Gavin is usher. So at first he yelled, maybe perhaps that wouldn't be a problem, and then later he yelled, Davishim's Gavin is usher. Okay, fine, but the point could be, either way, whether it's one of them has it wrong, or one of them just had the original version and his version changed, either way, it's Treta Alib Derbuda, Hadron Allah Yom to be finished, Perak Shani, Perak Yadav. We'll pick up Mitzvah tomorrow. Tomorrow, Daf is a little bit later because of